25. The Underhull Express gathered speed with its usual smooth surge of acceleration. As it threaded between Crabtree's outlying precincts and domes, Bella buckled into her seat and made sure all her belongings were secured to the fold-down table. "Before you fall asleep," Liz Shen said, passing Bella a live flexi, "I need your okay on this." Bella glared at the document. It was the go-ahead for the Tier 2 feasibility study, which would see human expansion erupt onto the outer surface of the Iron Sky. She signed it with her customary flourish, despite the arthritis that was making it increasingly awkward for her to write. It was largely formality. The Tier 2 project had strong advocates in Crabtree and the more influential Eddytowns, and it would take more than Bella's obstructiveness to hold it back now. "Any other business?" she asked guardedly. "There's the matter every fox wants to discuss with you. I can brief you if you like." "I'm sure he'll tell me all about it when we get to Underhull. But I suppose it wouldn't hurt to know the basics. Basically, they found something when they were sinking some new foundation piles last week. No one quite knows what to make of it, but we're pretty sure it hasn't been down there forever. It looks as if Svetlana buried it there just before she had to clear out of Underhull." Bella thought back to those events, compressed paper-thin by the weight of intervening years. Why would she bury something? I gave her more than enough time to get out of there. Couldn't be a bomb, could it? Avery says not. Whatever it is just sits there, doesn't do anything. It's heavy, though, even under Janus' gravity. Maybe that's why she left it behind. All right. Avery can fill me in on the details. Probably isn't anything significant. Is there anything I do need to worry about? The smart young woman dimmed the flexi and slipped it under her floral patterned jacket. You're keen. I have a paper copy of the latest draft report on the Bagley affair, if you want to review it. Bella rolled her eyes. I've reviewed umpteen versions already. Show it to me when they have something that'll hold up in court. Then I'll think about reopening the inquiry. There'll be a lot of people hoping it never makes it that far, Liz Shen said. Of course, if you'd rather they didn't have anything to worry about. Oh, just give it to me, Bella said grumpily, knowing Shen was right. As the train whisked towards Underhull at a comfortable 108 kilometers per hour, just below orbital speed, Bella skimmed the latest draft report on the Bagley murder. The paper smelled faintly of peppermint. It was 28 years since Meredith Bagley had been found dead, crushed by the movement of a centrifuge during scheduled maintenance. 5 years ago, however, Hank Dusson, one of Parry's old EVA men, had confessed to being one of three participants in her murder. Dusson had been on his deathbed at the time of his confession, riddled with radiation carcinomas from a lifetime of spacewalking. An affiliate of one of the more obscure symbolist sects, he refused to entrust himself to the rejuvenative medicine of the Fountainheads. He saw his confession as a necessary step to absolution, but he had not named his co-conspirators. The case had simmered on since then, unable to progress due to a lack of further information. Then, unexpectedly, Ash Murray had uncovered a paper log containing fault reports for the three suits that had been signed out for that shift. The log contained no names, but the three sets of faults had all been written in different handwriting. One set matched known documents linked to Hank Dusson, while the other two were good matches against samples from the suspected co-conspirators. After a lifetime of working in suits, filling in the fault documentation had been second nature to them. Bella put down the document with a sigh. Do you really think I should pull back this scab, Liz, just when we're all beginning to live together in peace again? Just when things are starting to settle down? Has to be done, Liz Shen said. I know, it's just... Bella sighed heavily. This is going to raise hell. It may not stop at just two names. God knows how many people have been involved keeping this covered up over the years. Has to be done, Shen repeated firmly. As ever, she appeared wise beyond her years, like the older sister Bella had never had. And we'll pull through it too, she added. Maybe you actually need this, to finally move on from all that. There were many like Liz Shen now, children of Janus, pushing inexorably into adulthood, many with children of their own. Earth meant nothing to them. It was like some distant, exotic, vaguely perplexing foreign country, the way Japan or China had been to Bella when she was a girl. They were happy to take what they could from it, its fashions, music, clothes, and consumer goods, but they had no gripping desire actually to visit the place. If Shen and her generation were nostalgic about anything, it was the version of Janus they remembered from their youth, with its deceptive simplicities and easily forgotten hardships. Things had improved during the 20 years since the Fountainheads drilled through the sky. After months of uneasy negotiation, the aliens had been allowed to sink energy-sucking taproots into the luminous vaults under Janus. In return, the Fountainheads had given the humans access to technologies, artifacts, and data the aliens had acquired during their earlier episodes of human contact. None of these items dated from later than 2135, the cutoff, as it was now known, but that was still nearly 80 years of human progress to catch up on. Careful not to overwhelm the humans, the Fountainheads had drip-fed these marvels one dose at a time, in return for increasing access to the interior of Janus. Liz Shen was an object lesson in how well these lessons had been integrated into the normal flow of Janus life. The Flexi she carried with her was for Bella's benefit, not hers. She regarded Flexis with the eldritch horror Bella might have reserved for a steam-driven typewriter. Liz Shen's computational needs were handled by her clothes and the kernels of borderline intelligence packed into her minimalist jewelry. The clothes and jewelry drew their tiny power requirements from her movements. The computational textiles exchanged data with the environment via rapid subliminal alterations to their color patterning, too brief to be picked up by the human eye. The apparently serene environment, in turn, flickered beneath the level of perception with a frenzy of encoded data patterns. The clothes had become so adept at reading Shen's muscular intentions, they were sewn with superconductors to pick up the myoelectric field pulses of her nervous system, that she rarely needed to complete the gesture itself. When she was busy, Shen's muscles pulsated with a kind of low-level palsy, like a person receiving mild electroconvulsive therapy. She had the hard muscle tone of a ballerina. It might have looked odd, but there were people like Shen everywhere nowadays. Bella and the other old-timers were the oddities, with their quaint attachment to Flexis. Bella had tried to keep up, but she had been 68 when the Fountainheads came, already set in her ways. Now she was 20 years older. There were many like her, too, mired in the past, dressing like ghosts from a vanished era, blinking in bewildered surprise at the rush of events. Shen pulled down her sunglasses and went into a brief data tremor. "We're approaching Underhole," she said. "We had a security scare a few hours ago, but everything's normal now." Bella handed her back the papers on the Bagley case. "You'd better keep hold of these for now. If they can tighten Section 3, I think we're there." "You're going to have to subpoena Ash Murray," Shen said. "I can start the paperwork on that if you want. He's not going to like it, though." "Of course he's not going to like it. I have a feeling he expected to stay dead for rather longer than 4 years. Serves him right for joining the Skippers." Shen tore off a chunk of the Bagley report and pushed it into her mouth, talking as she chewed. "They called it exporting expertise to the future. Social cowardice, if you ask me." "Don't be too hard on them," Bella said. "We all lived through some pretty bad times. People like Ash, they'd just had enough." "I'm still glad you closed that loophole. Why should we carry their dead weight across the decades?" Shen tore off another corner from the report and offered it to Bella. "You haven't eaten since this morning. Would you like some?" "No, thanks," Bella said, touching a hand to her belly. "Paperwork always disagrees with me." Liz Shen handed Bella a plastic filter mask as they disembarked from the train into the unfinished transit plaza at Underhole. Dust hung in the air in languid drifting sheets, never settling to the ground. The few human workers present guided their construction machines with slow, full-body gestures, like Tai Chi masters. Avery Fox came bustling over to see them, snatching down a dust mask and apologizing for his lateness. He was 26, born in the 7th year of human occupation of Janus. He was the only child of Rita Kirshner and Malcolm Fox, a marriage across the lines of allegiance dividing Bella and Svetlana. "They tell me you've found something," Bella said. "I thought you might like to see it sooner rather than later. We've booked a heavy tractor to haul it back to Crabtree, but it probably won't get there for another week. I've kept the Fountainheads waiting long enough. I'm sure a few more minutes won't make any difference. It's true, then? Avery asked. You're really going through with it? Even old women are allowed to change their minds. She softened her expression. In recent years she had become dimly aware of how sternly disapproving she could appear. The years have caught up with me, Avery. Look at these useless old hands of mine. I hope it all goes well, he said. It will. They ought to be getting good at it by now. He led them into the bowels of the Underhold transit complex, through dust screens and airlocks. Soon they arrived in an excavated space with a pit in the floor, where drilling had been suspended. A makeshift walkway had been gecko-flexed to the ice. Bella tightened one of her useless old hands on the railing and looked down. "That's it?" she asked, dismayed. It was nothing to look at, just a black cube about the same size as a transport crate. "It's heavier than it looks," Fox said, slipping into the peculiar lilting accent she often heard amongst the young. 200 tons of mass easily. It weighs more than 500 kilos even on Janus. If they only had a few pairs of hands, they'd have had a hard time loading it onto a tractor. Easier to dig a hole and bury it. If Svetlana didn't want me to see this thing, why didn't she just destroy it? Bella asked, not really expecting an answer. Liz Shen said, What is it anyway? No one knows, Fox replied. There's a design cut into one of the faces, some naked guy in a square. Not ringing any bells here, Bella said, but something bristled the hairs on the back of her neck. How closely have you examined it? We've poked and prodded it enough to be certain it isn't a bomb. Looks solid all the way through. Composition? Funny thing is, Avery said, we haven't had much luck shaving anything off for analysis. Tough as old boots, whatever it is. Maybe that's why Svetlana didn't destroy it. She couldn't have, even if she'd wanted to. And it's been down here for 20 years. Unless someone tells us otherwise. If you want the facts, I guess Svetlana's the person to ask. Do you still want us to ship it back to Crabtree? We'll take the risk if it means we'll have a better chance of studying it. But keep this under wraps. I don't want this all over town by the time it gets there. I'm sure we can handle it with the necessary discretion, Shen said, with the conceited glow of someone who knew they were extremely good at their job. But what about Svetlana? Do you want someone to bring her in from Eddytown for questioning? No, Bella said. Just dig out the names of everyone who might have been at Underhold just before the takeover. That's where we'll start. You really want to get into this on top of the Bagley investigation? Isn't one hornet's nest enough for you? Actually, Bella said, that's a very good point. When you pick them up, whoever they turn out to be, drop hints that it's all part of a peripheral inquiry related to the Bagley case. Don't be afraid to take the train to Eddytown, if that's where your investigations lead, but never let Svetlana suspect that this has anything to do with the cube. Then she found herself looking back down at the ominous black object, as if it were exerting a magnetic tug on her thoughts, forcing her attention upon itself. That thing, she said uneasily. Has anyone actually touched it? I did, Fox said, looking down shamefacedly. It was stupid. I should have waited until we'd run tests, but no harm came from it. What did it feel like? Very cold, he said. Cold and very, very old. A lot older than 20 years. Bella shivered. She swore she could feel that antiquity without even touching it. But that was absurd.